and welcome to Real Career Talk, a monthly podcast series where we come together to have real career-based conversations with internal AT&T and external leaders in a variety of fields who share their career stories and give some real holistic career advice for us to find inspiration and motivation to navigate our careers with vigor. I am your host, Andrea Lim. And for this episode, we're going to talk about the importance of connections at work. And with me today is Cassandra S. Lee, Senior Vice President and Chief Audit Executive at AT&T. I'm so excited to have you here. She can certainly talk about how crucial connections are at work. And really, I cannot wait till we dive into this. But let me first give you a little background about it. So Cassie is an experienced leader, operational partner, and problem solver. In her current role as Chief Audit Executive, she leads a team responsible for risk assessment, planning, and execution of customized audit engagements to ensure risks are appropriately mitigated and significant business processes are being followed. She previously served as CFO for AT&T Technology and Network Operations, where she managed AT&T's capital plan while supporting organizations across networks, operations, information technology, the chief data office, the chief information security office, and global supply chain. She also served in various market, regional, and national CFO roles for AT&T wireless operations. In nearly three decades with AT&T, she has acquired a wealth of expertise in various other areas, including retail operations, distribution strategy, merger integration, capacity planning, and shared services operations. She earned her Bachelor of Professional Accountancy degree from Mississippi State University and is a certified public accountant. She currently serves on the board of directors of NeSource, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, one of the nation's largest fully regulated utility companies. And she was a member of the Mississippi Army National Guard and is a veteran of the United States of America. So we definitely thank you for all your service. But most importantly, I am just so excited and I can't thank you enough for being with me here today.
Rhea, thank you. It is my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
Yes, me too. So, okay, I like to start off with a couple of softball questions just so that we kind of get into our good, you know, dialogue flow. So these are going to be very, very softballs, especially when it comes to connections. I think that a lot of things that bring people together has a lot to do with the things that they value. So these are some hot fire questions. So tell me first and foremost, what's your favorite color?
Red.
Red. All right. Why red?
You can tell by the lipstick. I just like a little excitement in my life, right? There's a lot of neutral things going on, a lot of get into circumstances where things are just calm.
Yeah.
It just makes me happy when I see a little pop of color.
I completely understand. Completely. All right. So on the same number, what's your favorite food?
Let's see. I have to say anything charcuterie. So give me a charcuterie tray and I can make a meal of it.
I love it. Love it.
Alrighty. Glass of wine, but charcuterie is the starting point.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I gave up meat like about 10 years ago, but I love cheese boards. Like, oh my goodness, that also with a glass of wine is probably my favorite as well. And how do you spend your downtime? Like if you were unwinding, no work whatsoever, unplug, what would you like to be doing?
Well, Drea, I have four children, so I'm not sure I ever have any downtime. To be away from work for me might look like me and my kids and my husband in the kitchen debating something. And it could be physical as, you know, who's the cutest Formula One driver, to something serious that's going on socially or politically. But my children are at an age where they have opinions and they have lots of different opinions. And so we love a good debate around the kitchen island and it's always fun.
Oh my God, that is fantastic. And I say, and I used to hear this phrase all the time, but until I actually had children of my own, I never really understand it. But kids will keep you young. And I love the debate as well. You can learn some fascinating things that can maybe even change your perspective on things.
I agree.
All right. So we're going to dive into our conversation about connections. And it sounds like even outside of work, you have a lot of dynamic connections that go on from the colors that give you energy and spark your creativity to the types of food you like to eat and your family. So I'd like to kick things off with just kind of understanding, because I might have read through your bio, but people really want to get to know you. So give me an idea of what motivation or, say, key pivotal experience or experiences shaped your career path and what factors influenced that trajectory.
Yeah, so, you know, hindsight, Drea, is 2020, right? So when I started my career, actually when I started thinking about even college, I looked around my small town of rural Mississippi and I thought, what do you do when you graduate from high school in this town? I mean, the population was maybe 2,500, 3,000 people. And so as I was scanning the landscape of what actually existed in that small town or in the radius around it, I thought, well, everyone here either is a teacher. I have lots of respect for teachers, but I knew I didn't have the patience to do it. So people in my town were teachers, or they worked in one of the factories, or they worked at the bank. And so I thought to myself, I don't want to be a teacher. Maybe I end up in the bank. Maybe I end up as an office worker in one of these factories. So what can I do that would allow me to make a go of one of those banking or one of those factory jobs? And I thought to myself, okay, accounting. I was naive. I had no idea whether or not accounting was the right path for me. And I wasn't one of these people who had a 5-year or 10-year plan. And I was watching people around me. No one in my mom hadn't gone to college. Most of my uncles and aunts didn't go to college. And so I'm thinking, there's a college that I need to go to because I've seen two aunts go there. And they're going to be teachers. I know I don't want to do that. Must be accounting, because in this town, that might be the thing that actually gets me a job. I could not think past that small town of rural Mississippi.
Gotcha. Wow. That's amazing. You know, it's equally, though, kind of enlightening that you just had the perspective of putting it in the context of, here's what I see are opportunities and how do I get one of those, you know, career openings, if you will. So tell me, how did you arrive at your current role? Because it sounds like if you went down the accounting route, that leads you to finance. And give me a context of what you saw in terms of accounting that held your fascination clearly for so long.
Yeah. So, you know, when I fast forward 4 years into college, then you're thinking, okay, now I have this accounting degree. What the heck am I going to do with it? And so I just started sending out resumes. So back then, there wasn't this applying on the internet, right? You actually had to physically send in copies of resumes. And I probably sent out a few hundred. Mm-hmm. And I extended my search beyond my small town of rural Mississippi into the big city of Jackson, Mississippi. But I was sending out a bunch of resumes. Eventually what happened is someone saw my resume. He knew absolutely nothing about me, but they saw that I went to Mississippi State University and had a major in accounting. And the person who opened my resume happened to also be an alumni from Mississippi State University.
Nice.
And to also have gotten an accounting degree. So that was the commonality that made them even call me.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that. This person didn't know me, but we had something in common before he ever laid eyes on me.
Yes.
And so I went to work for an insurance company in Mississippi. And at that insurance company, I met a person there who was only a few years older than me, but I counted him as a mentor because he was really teaching me things. He had been a CPA for a long time. And he just had this desire to help people, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of years into that job, he went to work for a small company, a small cellular company in Mississippi. And just having worked with me for a couple of years, very young in the insurance business, he called me up and said, you know what? I think you'd make a great accounting manager. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm 24 years old. I'm not sure I make a great accounting manager, but if he thinks I can, maybe I can. Mm-hmm. So just like a whole lot of people, I went to work for a company that eventually became part of AT&T. I mean, we have such a rich history that most of us probably tell that story. Mm-hmm. My start in my career started because someone saw something similar on a piece of paper. And then it progressed because someone saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself, right? So I pivoted to this company that eventually became AT&T. And then just like many things that happened with the merger of companies, they decided that that office in Jackson, Mississippi could be centralized. So then I got to move to the big city of Atlanta. And once I got to Atlanta, a few years in, there were more org changes. And so I just kept following jobs that I thought I would enjoy, because I can honestly say, Drea, every job I've had here has been the best job I've ever had. And so I kept following things that were exciting. I wasn't thinking about what the next thing was or the next thing was, but I kept following roles that people asked me to do because they saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself. And I knew I could make the role exciting. So I went from accounting to finance because someone said, you like problem solving and you actually like interacting with people. Don't you really want to be in more of a decision support role than an accounting role doing debits and credits? And I thought, sure, if you think I can do it, I'll try it. And I absolutely loved it. And so it combined my passion for wanting to be in the business to my degree in accounting. And from there, I just kept hopping around, mostly laterals, but okay. I just started hopping around into jobs that I thought would be exciting and that others knew that I could come to work every day and just kill it. Mm-hmm. And so then fast forward 30 years, here I am.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Because I was going to ask you, which role you have liked the most, because it is fascinating that you say that you looked for things that were going to make you happy. But it sounds as if no matter what was thrown your way, you were going to give it 110% because someone saw something in you so much in the way that they took a chance on you. You took a chance on it, but you just gave it your all. And I think that is such a valuable thing to keep in mind, because sometimes we could get offered a position where we think, oh, I'm not sure I can do that. So then you maybe don't go in it with the same kind of vigor and the same kind of strong passion and intent, and things could have a completely different trajectory, if you will. But it sounds like you made some really smart moves. And I want to dive a little bit, just a little later, into the idea about lateral, because I think a lot of people also limit themselves when they feel like they're not progressing upward, but there's a lot of growth and potential and career happiness from lateral moves. But tell me, throughout your career in finance, sounds like you had to support a lot of different teams. Finance touches every part of the business. So tell me about how connections, or the role of connection and relationship building, factored into all of those positions.
Yeah, I think many of us do a really, really good job because we're conscious of it. Of managing up. I mean, we all want to show up every day and we want to impress our boss or impress our boss's boss. We're always thinking about it. It's always top of mind. It becomes just sort of second nature. We don't even have to think about it most days. I think where most of us could probably get a little bit better is making connections and making sure that we develop connections with our peers and with those who work for us even. For me, I think sometimes you get to a level where it's more important that you manage down and across and collaborate down and across. I think that at some point becomes more important than managing up, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get to a point where you're at the table because you deserve to be at the table and all of your peers know that. But as you're progressing through your journey in your career, you have to remember that the peers are the one that are going to hold you up. If you don't have a knowledge base that maybe they can share with you, or vice versa, that's a group of people that you can rely on. You need to nurture and protect those relationships. Mm-hmm. The people that work for you, they need to feel supported, but we need to remember that they are the ones propping us up as well. And you never know how someone's career trajectory will go. Someone who is your subordinate today could be your boss at some point. Someone who is your peer today will be your boss at some point. It is inevitable. And so I think we have to remember that relationships are important every day, no matter if it's the president of the company or the guy who changes the light bulb in the office.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
Absolutely. And I think that that is so important. We often, as you stated, look upward thinking, okay, let me impress my boss. Let me do things for my boss or my supervisor. And it could at times come at the sacrifice of the relationships of the people that you're working with day in and day out. So I think it's definitely an important lesson to keep in mind, just in essence, your brand, how you're connecting with everyone. As valuable as your relationships are, say, are in your home or with your friends outside of work, you have to bring that same sort of sentiment and professionalism, you know, inside of the workplace, and care for those connections, because there could be someone looking at you and you're not even aware of it. So I think that is absolutely golden. I was told that you have a favorite quote, and it has something to do with connection. I won't spoil it. So I'd love for you to share your quote, why you like that quote, and tell us how does it actually relate to connection?
Yeah. You know, first, Drea, let me, I read something somewhere on some calendar or something that had daily quotes. So first, before I tell you my favorite quote, I read something somewhere that said something like, if you have to tell everyone how great you are, you're probably not. Right. And so if your peers and your subordinates are the one talking about how great you are, I think that goes a long way versus you having to say it yourself. But my favorite quote is from a relationship expert. And I think that relationships are important, whether they're personal or professional. But what she says is that the quality of your relationship determines the quality of your life. It seems very simple, but when you think about it, first of all, no one's floating around on this planet in a bubble all on their own. We all need to rely on someone else day in and day out for just about everything, right? But if you think about it, that the quality of your relationship is important, whether it's personal or professional. I mean, if I have hurt one of my kids' feelings, or if I'm upset with my husband, I'm not going to have a very good day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I'm not on the same page as my siblings about an issue, I'm not going to have a very good day. So the same thing at work. If I'm not coming to work every day and have relationships that I trust with people that I trust and that I respect and that I genuinely care about in a professional way, then it's not going to be a whole lot of fun coming to work every day. And if you're not having fun at work every day, I don't think you can be effective. I mean, I can't walk around faking it every day, right?
Yeah.
So I think when we show up, wherever we show up in our lives, relationships matter. And oh, by the way, those relationships or connections influence what happens to us in our personal lives and in our careers. And so I fundamentally believe that relationships and connections matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been with the company for such a long time. You no doubt have observed some notable changes in the workplace dynamic. And over those years, the importance of connections have no doubt just increased and grown, because there's also been a lot of organizational changes.
Yeah.
So give me an idea of, have there been, other than like the ones that sort of just started out, like when the guy who saw your resume made that connection between the school and then you guys ended up in somewhat of the same arena, and from there you just progressed, Have there been changes in the way that you've connected with people that have had a profound impact on your career?
Yeah. You know, we all come to work every day from somewhere, right? From some culture or community that sort of defines how we act and how we think. I mean, I'm from this small town in rural Mississippi. Certain people live in rural Mississippi. They have a culture, they have a demeanor, they have an attitude, they have an outlook on life, right? And it's going to be different than someone who grew up in New York. So we all come to work with these biases, whether we like to admit it or not. We all come to work with these unconscious biases, sometimes conscious, but with these unconscious biases as well, mostly harmless, but they impact how we navigate the world. So I spent 20 years with this company strictly working on the wireless side of the business. And so I knew certain people in the wireless side of the business. I got comfortable with people on the wireless side of the business. And then one day I get a call from someone in Dallas and they say, you know, you've been doing that for 20. I didn't know this person, by the way, but he said, you've been doing effectively the same thing for 20 years. Yeah, I bounced back and forth across markets and regions and headquarters functions, but I was in a finance function in wireless most of my career. And so he said, you're probably not going to learn that much more about wireless. So you should probably come to Dallas and start learning some of the other side of the business, the technology space, the wireline space. And I never said no to a job at AT&T. At that point, I had never said no. And so I thought, okay, I've moved my family four times. What's one more time? Yeah. And someone who doesn't even know me is asking me to do something. So why not? I'll go do it. So we moved to Dallas, and I'm working for this person that we have absolutely nothing in common, right? I'm from this tiny town of rural Mississippi. I looked around when I was young. I did not see anyone that motivated me to decide what I wanted to do in my career. I didn't recognize anything that would prepare me for corporate America. This person, on the other hand, older white guy from middle class America in St. Louis, knew most of the people across the company, grew up with people in the company, you know, like Randall, like John. So he had these connections with people that I thought, those people have nothing in common with me, right? So I went to work for him, and somehow we established this relationship where he appreciated my respectful directness. We could talk about anything. If I disagreed with a decision he was making, we can have that conversation, obviously in the right forum, in the right way, behind closed doors, not out in public where I'm challenging his decision. But we can have open and honest conversations. I could ask him about things in the business that I didn't know without feeling embarrassed because I didn't know it. He could ask me about things that were social justice issues, how people might react to certain situations. He could ask me about those sort of things. So it felt very safe and very comfortable. So what I thought we had was a really good working relationship where he knew that I was going to come to work every day and kill it. Mm-hmm. And he would never have to wonder if I was holding something back that he needed to know. So I thought we had this boss-subordinate relationship, and I loved what I was doing and I was learning, so I was good. I didn't know that I was also establishing someone who was a mentor and an advocate. Mm. And he didn't make an announcement that says, hey, I'm going to go out and advocate for you. I eventually realized that he was, because he promoted me to VP. He promoted me to officer. And these are things that were not on my radar, because in my small town of rural Mississippi, I never even knew what that meant. But just by being naturally inquisitive, coming to work and doing my job, and naturally being transparent, somebody not only saw something in me that they wanted to work with, but they saw something that made them start to advocate for me. And that was because I was just being my natural, authentic self. I never would have expected it.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think that conversation that you just shared with regards to how you guys built your rapport off of mutual trust, mutual respect. But one thing that stuck out the most to me is how you said you never challenged his decisions like in public, because you definitely understood the dynamic of your relationship. And I think that that's key. It's okay to speak up. It's okay to have those courageous conversations. I think it is a level of professionalism that we have to show where and when it's appropriate to have conversations. So give me an idea for someone who might be an introvert, right? Because not everyone is good or effective at networking. Not everyone is outgoing. I'm volunteering to do this. And so I have to find everyone to be on this show. And I'm sometimes super shy about just putting it out there, but I know that that's the only way that I'm going to get to meet people like yourself and hear these amazing stories that I'm inspired by, and listeners as well. But effectively, are there one or two strategies you would say that you would share with someone who is an introvert? How to be more effective at making those good connections and relationships and maintaining?
Yeah. So, Drea, I am an introvert as well. It is not natural for me to just show up in a room and be on and be bubbly. There are lots of people who do very, very well in those situations. I'm just not one of them. It takes deliberate effort, right? It just does. So I've gotten better over time. If I'm going to show up in a big room, just to not go cower in the corner, because I used to do that. I used to show up in a room thinking, well, I have to be here. I don't really want to be at this networking event, but I know that I should be. So here I am. But I would find the nearest corner and hide out in a corner and just bide my time and eventually leave. And I wasn't getting anything from those interactions. And so what I've started to do is, you know, if I'm in a place and there's someone there that I know, and at AT&T, we're so big, there's always going to be someone in a room that you know, that you've come across. So I always look for someone that I know who might be a natural extrovert or who just knows more people in the room than I do. And inevitably, when I walk up to that person that I know, of course, they're going to stop and introduce me to everyone else. And that starts a conversation. And if I'm not sure who's going to be in the room, I'll look at the invite list or the calendar in advance and see if I recognize a single person. And I might reach out to that person and say, are you going to this event? Are you going to be in this meeting? And if it's an event, I'll say, let me know when you're headed out. And I might head out around the same time. So then I show up with someone that I'm already comfortable with. That's just a few of the things that I do. Now, obviously, that takes taking the time to know some people in advance of a big day. That's why I think you have to be collecting connections over the course of your career. You just can't just wake up one day and say, oh, I've got this event coming tomorrow. Let me just go make a few connections. You have to pick them up along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could talk to you for days. This is so fascinating. And I'm loving everything that you are sharing. I have already picked up on so many great nuggets. But since we're coming up on the final question, I'd love for you to share, because what you talked a little bit about is how you have run into a lot of different diverse people, right? And they've had different perspectives. They have had different connections. They grew up in different places. Like you mentioned how someone who is from, say, New York versus someone who's like California, like myself, or Atlanta, and I was a transplant from Atlanta to here. But talk to me a little bit about how diversity can play an effective role in building your professional network. And what are some key tips or strategies you would say, again, for that person who may be an introvert to do to make sure that they are collecting a diverse group of connections?
Yeah. You know, first, Drea, let's acknowledge that when we talk about diversity, we're talking about every layer of difference you can think about. Those things that you can see, like race, ethnicity, and those things that you can't see, like experiences. And so when I say diversity, I think it's important to surround ourselves with people from all different perspectives. And so when I think about diversity, I think about just about anything that makes someone different, including the traditional things like, you know, gender, race, ethnicity. All of it is important. And so when I also think it's important to get to know the whole person in a way that's not intrusive, because we still work with these people. These are still professional relationships. But I think you have to get to know the whole person in a non-intrusive way. So some of the things that I do when I'm leading a team is I deliberately set up small group discussions. We call it leading with conversation, where I'll throw out a topic. And if you work for me, you have the option to opt in on a conversation about that topic, right? So during the George Floyd incident, I had I threw out the topic of social injustice. Mm-hmm. And I nearly 20 sessions of 9 people plus me, because I never do more than 10. And we had a conversation, and we started that conversation by talking about, I said, introduce yourself in a way that is not just about work. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we started talking about things that were very sensitive at the time. And I was very careful to have a broad range of diversity in these sessions. I try to make it comfortable. I don't ever put anyone in a session where I think they're going to be in there with their boss and they can't be their authentic selves. I would never have a session where someone, whether they're all Black or all white or all female or all male, I kind of mix it up. Yeah. And then we create this safe place for people to exchange feelings, ideas in a very respectful way. And some of them get intense. I mean, we're talking about things like, is it okay to say Black or do you have to say African-American?
Yeah.
We're talking about things like, what's the deal with hair and hair extensions? Is it okay to touch someone's hair or not okay to touch someone's hair? We're talking about things like, I used to be in the Army. I moved around a lot. Oh, I didn't know that you were military brat. I mean, you start to see people sort of relax a little bit on these calls and start to open up. But when you do that, I'm always looking for something I have in common with someone, because that knocks down barriers. And when I'm on these calls, I can see people relaxing a little bit, and I can see the light bulbs going off where people are saying, I thought I knew that person, but now I really know that person. And all of them are not as intense as social injustice. We've done things like, you know, how do you think AT&T is doing on this topic? Or how do you think audit services are doing on this topic? I've had sessions that say, what do I need to do to make AT&T a better place to work for you? So sometimes they're intense, sometimes they're not. But it is my way of not only me getting to know people, but creating these natural connections. And I really do hope that whenever people have these sessions, they kind of pay it forward and create others. For me, that is the most fulfilling, and I found it to be very effective.
That is phenomenal. And I really hope that all of those different types of real conversations are happening in a variety of places, because as you mentioned, AT&T is big. It's one of the other reasons why I am using this platform to get to know people and hear all of these different stories, because there's no doubt things that people can relate to and connect to. And oh my God, as much as I would love for our conversation to continue, I cannot thank you enough for joining me. This has been a most riveting conversation. I thank you so much for talking about how important connections are. You have definitely made a profound effect on me, and I cannot thank you enough for creating this connection. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, Drea. Thanks for letting me hang out with you.
Yes. And for all of those who have been listening or will listen to this show, I thank you so much for your time, and I will see you at the next Real Career Talk.